This is Ken McCarthy, and this is a second in a series of three interviews on the life and career of Ken Giddens. Our first interview was with Mark Wegner, and Mark and Ken worked from really the very early days of the web business, and that interview documented Ken's work from about 93 to about 97, 98. And just a quick summary of that call, a lot of people are just not aware of the fact of how central some of Ken's work was to the early years of the web. Basically, for those that don't know the history, the first web browser was put out by a company called Netscape, and from 94 till about 96, 97, they were pretty much the only browser. And they were also, because of that, the number one website, because all their browsers had the Netscape homepage as a default. Every time Netscape added a new feature, basically they would hand the code to Ken Giddens, and Ken would figure out the features and benefits of the new feature, whether it be frames or one of the other innovations, and then he would create for Netscape a series of tutorials and explanations and how to use this and examples of how to use it, and that would go up on the Netscape website. And Ken was their go-to guy for that function from early 95 until about, I think, 96, 97. So basically anybody in that period, all those early adopters that were getting on the web and learning how to use the browser and learning how to code pages, they were pretty much getting their information from Netscape because there wasn't any more current source, and Ken was the actual person that did the translating. So his work in those early years was very influential. We're now going to switch gears and talk with Bob Lang, and this is going to reflect a second phase in Ken's career where he switched from doing websites for clients to getting more involved in the business side of things. And Bob's going to fill us in on one of Ken's most successful projects. Welcome, Bob.
Thank you. Thanks, Ken.
Great. Let's start from the beginning. Let's talk about two things. First, what you were doing before you met Ken. You had already started this business,
mm-hmm.
and it was going well.
Mm-hmm.
And then how you met Ken, and then the impact that working with Ken had on your business.
Okay, that's a fair question, and I've been doing a little bit of thinking about that over the last few days. It's amazing how much you forget in 6 or 7 years. So, two partners and myself started World of Watches in June of 1996. These partners and I knew each other for a long time. My partners had been in the jewelry business for a long time. And in 1996, they were farsighted enough to say, I wonder if we could sell some watches on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
So they got in touch with me, who I owned another company at the time, which was not doing so great, so I had a little time on my hands. And I am more of a technical person than my two partners were, so they asked if I would consider coming on in their attempt to sell watches on the Internet. I said, sure, why not? I like to eat just as much as anyone. In June of 1996, believe it or not, I had never, ever been on the Internet. So I told my partners, I've got a big learning curve here, and I'll start doing it right away. So I started going on the web, surfing the web 10, 12 hours a day, going to every different, basically, retail site that I could to try to define in my own mind what I thought was a good website and what I thought was a bad website. And while I'm doing this, I'm sort of, thinking about how I wanted World of Watches to look. After this and many other things that a person had to learn in those days to go to put a website online, such as how do you photograph watches with an acceptable quality that you can, show the pictures on the Internet? How do you do search engines? How do you set up your office infrastructure to handle the customer service end of things? Just, a total immersion in everything of that nature is
not only that, but in that era, as far as I remember, there certainly was no place to go to learn that stuff. You had to learn it by figuring it out yourself.
Yeah, I did. I mean, we could have gone the route where I could have hired a professional photographer. I could have hired, someone to set up my office database, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But we were a company, we didn't know whether we would ever sell a watch on the Internet. I mean, literally, we didn't have a sales plan. We didn't know that we'd ever do greater than zero.
Well, and frankly, in that era, if you picked up the business magazines, there was a tremendous amount of skepticism whether the web would ever work out, whether anyone would ever make a nickel on it. So,
right.
That was part of the mindset then.
Right. So right from the start, we, you know, our company was, you know, very much a seat of the pants, you know, pull yourself up by your own socks kind of thing. And we got to the point where 6 months later, on January 13th, 1997, we went online. January 13th, that's a good time for a retail business to go online. But that was a blessing because we really weren't prepared to handle any kind of Christmas crunch.
Actually, yeah, I could see that. It worked out for you.
So we went online in 97, and we did business. The amazing thing was that some of the watches we were selling right then and there were very expensive watches. I mean, I have a very good memory of selling like over a $3,000 watch, like our second week in operation. But overall, one of the biggest memories I have of those days, and I was the call center back in those days, was the absolute or almost absolute distrust that people had of a company selling over the Internet. I would say 80% of my customer calls started out with the question, how do I know I can trust you guys to ship my watch?
Yeah, yeah.
So I had to become very adept at answering that question, and, you know, luckily I guess I did because we did sell some watches, but there was a, you know, in those days people were worried about how much information a person could get about you if you just went on the Internet. I mean, just dip your toe into the Internet, and then they're immediately going to have all your credit card numbers.
Well, I mean, I have to confess, I was an early adopter, and I wasn't real thrilled about giving credit card numbers on the Internet
Neither was I.
You know?
No, now that I've done it for 8 years,
yeah.
It's no problem.
But, were there even secure pages in those days? I'm trying
yes.
to remember. They were, okay.
Yes. Because I remember the guy explaining to me, now when you see HTTPS, that's a secure page.
Okay.
So,
okay.
I do remember that. So we designed a fairly sophisticated website, World of Watches. This was with our first web designer and host, which obviously was not Ken.
Mm-hmm.
We had very extensive search capabilities. For example, you could ask the website to deliver all of the watches from Breitling, Omega, and Tag Heuer that were men's watches and were chronographs between $1,000 and $1,500. And it would, you know, pretty quickly for those days search the database and come up with the 27 watches that fit that, you know, that particular description.
Mm-hmm.
So we ambled along, and like I said, we started doing business, and then I started hearing about things like search engines and stuff like that, and how do we increase our business, and how do we figure out these search engines? So for 97, a large part of my time, other than, you know, when the phone rang and I sold the watch, was trying to figure out search engines.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't easy.
No.
I remember getting a book called Getting Hits back then. I don't remember the author. It may have been Danny O'Sullivan or whatever. But, you know, it's like, oh, boy, how can we do this? How can we do that? And our web developer at the time just was not interested in doing work on search engines. And that was what I thought I had made that part of the initial spec. You know, you do our website, you know, we focus on search engines and et cetera, but, you know, we never really discuss search engines. So I remember in May of 97, we somehow got a top position on Excite, which at the time I always felt was the most important search engine back in the 97-98 era because they provided results for AOL and, you know, a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And for about a week and a half, we had a number one ranking on Excite. And, man, in that week and a half, I'll tell you, Ken, I was always amazed by the immediacy of results on the Internet. I mean, the day we got a top ranking on Excite, I mean, our business was just immediately, you know, perceptibly higher.
Hmm.
And then a week and a half later, we lost it. It's like, oh, no, I'm pulling my hair out.
And then you saw the business go, too.
Oh, yeah. There's a corollary. You know, the downside also works.
Yep.
And in those days, of course, there were 8 search engines that I used to look at and about 4 or 5 directories. So, you know, it was very difficult. And I pretty quickly realized that I wasn't going to figure it out. And so I subscribed to, I got an unsolicited email from this company called Planet Ocean. And said for $95 a year, you know, you can belong to the best search engine newsletter. So I did it. I printed out Stephen Mahaney was the guy behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Printed out his book that night and took it home and just devoured the 82 pages of the book. I think now that book runs about 180 pages.
Yeah.
But and called our developer the next day and said, "Hey, did you guys ever hear about redirect pages? I mean, that was the first time I had ever heard of what a redirect page was." "Oh yeah, we can do redirect page." "Well, like, geez, that sounds like a good strategy for a search engine placement. How about we do something like that?" So we started working on that, and, you know, they were pretty tepid about it, and our business grew throughout the year. We wound up 97 doing, you know, selling more than just a few watches. We were all happy with the business. And 1998 comes around, and one of the weird things that I noticed about the Internet in those days, being a lifelong retailer, I mean, you have your holiday season, and then after holiday, you have the dog days of January,
right.
February. Yeah, I have a theory that in those days, the Internet was growing so rapidly with both new people who had never been on before and new shoppers who had been on the Internet and never shopped before. It was, I mean, you could already see the acceptability of shopping over the Internet was, you know, was growing by leaps and bounds. That January and February, our business was like equal to November of 97. It's like, holy mackerel, we're, you know, here in January, we're doing what we were in November. You know, what does this mean for the rest of the year? So
mm-hmm.
we could really see at that point in time that the that this was going to be a, you know, an excellent business for us. And then, you know, we started talking about among the three partners that we needed to find somebody who was going to be our guru, so to speak. So I accepted an invitation to go to a seminar in Boulder, Colorado in March of 98. Jonathan Mizell
sure.
was putting that one on. I think a lot of people are familiar with that.
Yeah, those were, I just want to say, those were quite possibly the best Internet marketing seminars of that era. I think John's stuff was amazing. Yeah,
there was a lot of really dynamic guys, and of course a lot of people making a lot of money in various fashions on
right.
the Internet.
Right.
And not too many people who, you know, already had a retail company that was doing business and were, you know, was sort of like in our mold. And really, I didn't go there to learn Internet marketing. I mean, I was running a, you know, a very growing company. I had a tiger by the tail myself.
Right.
But I went out there to see, you know, what kind of expertise was out there, who I could find. And I thought one of the most important events for me to attend was going to be the cocktail hour, you know, before all the seminars began.
Yeah.
Not because I was a big drinker, but I just wanted to sort of see what kind of people were there. And I think I wrote to you in an email. I mean, there was quite a few small groups with guys making expansive gestures and talking about how much, you know, I made $150,000 last month with this, you know, newsletter, blah, 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 you know, all this and that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this was really not the profile of what I was looking for. And then I spotted a small group over in the corner, and there wasn't any noise coming from, so
uh-huh.
I went over and looked, and there's this tall guy standing there talking very thoughtfully, talking quietly, and everybody's just listening to every word this guy is saying. So I'm figuring, okay, this is somebody I need to meet. And Ken and I went to dinner that night, and he mentioned his Netscape experience, and I talked about World of Watches, and just so happens that Ken was not really looking for new clients at that time. He, as you said, he didn't want to develop websites for other people, but he was also interested in doing something totally retail oriented,
mm-hmm.
and he saw our metrics at the time. The week before, we had just in middle of March, we had just finished up a $35,000 week, which was really pretty astounding for us, you know, in the middle of March.
Sure,
that's quite a few watches, and we were getting about 600 unique visitors a day. And Ken took a look at that and said, "You guys look pretty serious," and you know, I was glad to see that he thought 600 visitors a day was, you know, was pretty good, because, of course, when you're in the business, nothing is good enough. You only want more. You know, I wanted 1,000 visitors a day.
Right.
But anyway, at the time, you know, it was just a meeting. I spent a lot of time with Ken over the next 3 days. And then the next month, April of 98, our supplier, our webmaster and host, you know, really took a nosedive on us. I mean, our reliability went down. So I knew I had to find someone else. And it's a fortunate thing that I had, you know, spoken to Ken the month before. So I called him, and he agreed to take the job to develop a new World of Watches website and to host it. I think he put it on Sonic out there in Santa Rosa. And our new website was up and running by June 13th of that year, and with, of course, much greater reliability.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the period between March and June, our business was continuing to grow. We were, by the time Ken's new website took effect, we were already up at $50,000 a week. So mm-hmm. we had grown from 35 in the middle of March, which we were, you know, like Google-eyed at, and now we're up to 50,000. And geez, this new guy hasn't even taken over yet.
And just to set the time, what year was this again?
This was 1998. This
1998.
Was
late, middle.
This was March through June.
Gotcha.
98,
okay.
Second
okay.
quarter.
Because of course the internet was growing, the web was growing so fast
it
at
was.
That time.
It was.
So still. That's some pretty good numbers for that era, for
they
sure.
They were very good numbers. Yeah. I mean, the three of us, you know, my two partners and myself, and I'd be mentioning their names, but they want to be silent partners,
hey,
I would think.
More power to them.
and we were just, like, astounded, like, where is this going? I mean, at the time, when we first did the 35,000 in March, you know, I revised our sales forecast to 2.5 million. It was, like, astounding that we might possibly do that number.
Yeah. Because by contrast, what would a retail store in a good location?
I was just going to say that. Now, my partners had two stores in a very, very large mall, very well-trafficked mall. One was a pure jewelry store. One was more of a watch store. And in 98, World of Watches, we actually beat our 2.5 million projection by a fairly significant amount. We did more business off the internet in 98 than my partners did in their two stores combined. And their two stores had been open for 6 years.
Incredible.
And they were successful stores
mm-hmm.
in a huge, you know, top quality mall.
All right. And here you had this virtual store running on servers and wires and
yep.
And
yeah, another thing I'll mention to you, you know, the cost of opening a store, okay, you got to buy fixtures, you got to lay carpeting, I mean, it's just unbelievable. We opened World of Watches from the day that my partner said, let's do it, until the day we went live. I spent a total of $48,000 on World of Watches. That included the website, that included the cameras, that included, you know, everything, my salary, just everything.
That
so,
wouldn't even do partial fixtures in a good jewelry store.
No, and you'd be hard pressed to do that today as well. But I mean, on the internet. But just, you know, within 3 months of doing business, we were cash flow positive already. Mm. And to me, that was one of the keys because, you know, like I say, back in those early days in '97, you know, none of the three of us ever thought that we would have a year that we would do over $2.5 million on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was just, you know. We didn't allow ourselves to think that way.
Mm-hmm.
And here in the second year, you know, it was happening. Anyway, so in the middle of June, Ken's first website took over, and our business just continued that incline, you know, that it already was, you know, in that second
sure.
quarter of 98.
Can I ask the URL for that website?
Worldofwatches.com.
Okay.
Still in existence today by the people who purchased us in 2000.
So if people go to, I think, archive.org. It's also called the Wayback Machine. And
oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You can enter in the worldofwatches.com, and it will. I believe they started archiving pages around 96, 97. So
cool.
You'll see possibly your early pages plus.
Oh, I'd love to.
Yeah, it'd be a fascinating study for people. So Ken came on and did a revision of the site and I imagine got involved in search engine marketing in a much more serious way.
Well, that's an interesting story. Of course, when he wrote the site, he wrote it properly for the search engines. And of course, you know, there's no substitute for starting out with a well-written website.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to get search engine placement. And this gets into a little bit of Ken Giddens' personality. You know, Ken and I had a relationship where we talked on the phone a lot. And I was in Minnesota, he was in Santa Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
My partners are down in Florida, and so we were truly, a wired company,
right.
I guess, if you want to look at it that way. Let me think what I wanted to do. Okay, so Ken's first 2 months, he was totally immersed in doing our website.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I love Ken's statement right from the start. He said, "Bob, I want to make you a grease slide from the homepage to the checkout page." I said, "Ken, grease that baby up." And we got together for a partners meeting in the middle of July. I was reviewing some of my notes from that meeting. And up until that point, Ken had not focused on search engines. He hadn't even met my other partners. You know, we needed to discuss a whole lot of things besides search engines. I mean, search engines aren't the only thing that makes a web business successful.
Mm-hmm.
And in the course of 3 days, it comes out that Ken spent a lot of time on this website, which did not really cost us a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
by the way. And I said, "Ken, why did it take so much time?" He said, "Well, Bob, I decided to write my own shopping cart, and that took a lot more time than I thought." You know, why do that? He said, "You know, part of the reason I wanted to get into this was to, you know, was to develop these skills on my own." So
mm-hmm.
I did it, and the website should have been a lot more. Well, just as a statement to Ken Giddens, you know, I took him aside after the meeting and said, "Ken, look, if we paid too little for the website, you need to requote me, and I'll see what I can do," and et cetera, et cetera. He said, "No, we agreed on this price, and that's the price, and that's the price I'm charging you. I'm not going to requote." So that's about as essential Ken Giddens as you get.
Mm-hmm. Sure, I recognize that trait.
Yep.
Several traits there. His hunger for knowledge and learning, voracious. His love to experiment and go where no man has gone before.
Yep.
And his essential generosity and fairness. So he wrote his own shopping cart system.
World of Watches. If you find World of Watches page from anywhere after June of 98 through June of 2000, it will be Ken Giddens' site. And yeah, it has our own proprietary shopping cart.
Okay.
Which always worked perfectly. Never a problem. As a matter of fact, I never had a problem with that website ever. I remember one Sunday morning, my partner and I were driving into the office. This was probably November of 99 now, and we were, in my eyes, we were a big company by then. You know, we had 39 people on the phones, and you know, 37 people shipping watches in the back room, and you know, it was a very active place.
Wow.
So my partner and I are driving in at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Now this is 4 o'clock California time. My cell phone rings. Ken Giddens.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up the phone. "Bob, I just wanted to tell you before you found out on your own your server was down." I said, "Well, you know, what time was it down from, Ken?"
Uh-huh.
He said, "From about 3 to 3:30 a.m. I said, "It's fixed. It's fixed now?" He said, "Yeah." "Okay, fine." That was the only time, you know, in two years that somebody kicked the server.
There's a lot of Fortune 500 companies that can't claim that good record.
I'll tell you, there's a lot of Fortune 500 companies that don't have the quality of person that the World of Watches had out there.
Absolutely.
That's for sure. In any event, in the summer of 98, it was pretty much, okay, let's tweak this part of the website. I don't like the way this is working, this, and this. And I went back and reviewed some of our search engine results from September of 98, and we were there, but we weren't dominant.
Mm-hmm.
We had maybe four or five significant competitors at that time, and you know, like we would own one search engine, somebody else would own another. You know, have a lot of number one rankings on, you know, Excite. We would have a lot of number one rankings on Northern Light. Thanks a lot.
Whatever happened to them?
I couldn't tell you. Somebody bought them, probably. But it was all over the place, and I started talking to Ken about really focusing on search engines. And he did not want to. Yeah, I had to talk to him two or three times. I said, Ken, how come? He said, Bob, you don't understand what a mega task search engine is, search engines are. He said, I don't consider myself qualified to charge somebody money to do search engine work for him. I said, Ken, well, if you don't, I don't know who does. You know, I'm going to call Danny O'Sullivan. Stephen Mahaney isn't going to do it for
right,
me.
Right, that's right.
And I, you know, one of the real sticking points was Ken didn't want to get paid for researching how to do and testing how to optimize search engines.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Ken, you know, why not? He said, well, you're not going to see any results for 4 or 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's fine. Let's come up with a monthly figure. You know, you do your work on the search engines, and I'll trust you that 4 to 6 months later we have better search engine positioning. And if we don't, it's my bad.
Mm-hmm.
No. So he did it, and he 4 months later, this was probably January of 99, I get a call from Ken, you know, I don't want to take this money from you anymore. It's not going anywhere. So I said, Ken, you said 4 to 6 months. Let's give it the 6 months. 2 months later, we had such search engine placement. It was unbelievable, and the business took off like unbelievable. I mean,
even beyond the incredible figures that you were talking earlier.
Even more. I have some numbers here, and I don't want to give too many numbers out, but I was looking up some of the numbers from 98, 99, and 2000. Where are they? Didn't you know? Well, anyway, I'll talk. I'll find them.
Okay.
Yeah, the numbers just kept going through the roof. One of the things Ken made me do, and I'm so glad he did because I still do it to this day for another company that I consult for, on the metrics, he said, look at your sales per visitor and your gross margin per visitor and just track that every week and see how it changes. That's such a critical metric. And I could see, and we were doing, you know, by the time we started, you know, really ramping up on the search engines, we were doing $6, $7, $8 in sales per visitor, which I think was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And it stayed that way, even as our number of visitors just went up, you know, astoundingly. So therefore, you know, our sales went up astoundingly. It was a direct correlation, and that's the way I always used to check to see whether a marketing program was paying off. If, for example, you got better search engine placement and your visitors rose and your dollars per visitor stayed the same, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy a big banner program and get a lot of visitors and your dollars per visitors goes down, you know, the banner program is not working for you.
Were you guys able to track individual promotions at that time, like, you know, run an ad on a banner network and see if that particular buy paid off, or did everything go into a big pot?
We tracked it, but here's the problem. When you track sales, you're tracking sales made over the Internet,
mm-hmm.
and our sales at the peak were two-thirds over the phone.
Okay.
You mentioned earlier people didn't trust us. You know, even in 98, 99, there was still, you know, a lot more distrust about putting your credit card on the Internet than there is today, of course. And we were selling, you know, $3,000 watches, $800 watches, $300 watches. You know, people certainly didn't want to buy a $2,500 watch without talking to the people who, you know, was going to ship it, unless they're trying to commit credit card for it. I mean, we got tons of Internet orders for expensive watches, but often they proved to be fraudulent.
Mm-hmm.
So the point, to answer your question, you really couldn't get a good track on the success of individual marketing programs because only a third of our sales were trackable.
Okay, because everything else is coming in by phone.
Right. Right.
But the web, I imagine, though, and I'm looking at one of the old archived web pages, the 800 number was right there above the fold. I mean,
the 800 number was everywhere. I mean, you're talking to 3X retailers, catalog retailers, and, you know, I had Ken, actually, the first website, I had them design the separator bar between each watch on the watch pages. Always call 1-800 blah, blah, blah right now, you know. That was everywhere. You couldn't go to that website and not see our 800 number.
Okay.
And I couldn't believe it when I would hear that other retailers would try to discourage people from calling in. I mean, why? Sale is a sale. Okay, maybe it's a more expensive sale. But it's a more solid sale, too. You get to talk to the person, and there are plenty of times when I decided not to ship a watch to somebody after I talked to them on the phone because it just didn't sound legit.
And that, you know, that's still the case among a certain segment of internet marketers. They really want the pure automation. They don't want to have any customer contact.
Sure.
And I think they're mad, you know.
Well, if you're selling, you know, 80-cent, you know, $3 items and stuff like that, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But if you're selling high-end goods, I think you got to have that.
Yeah. And so you had the experience then pre-internet of having an inbound phone room where people could take orders and the whole process of delivering customer service and answering questions.
My partners had that.
They were trying
to sell watches over a 1-800 number. As a matter of fact, in 96, you could no longer get 800 numbers. They were already defaulting to 888 numbers. So we took actually our partner's original 800 number, which they still had from when they tried to sell, you know, watches over the phone. I mean, it never succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
But we took the 800 number, and we felt it was important that our toll-free number be an 800 number because in that time, I don't think people were used to dialing 888 and 877 and, you know, all those other numbers for toll-free.
Yeah. So basically, Ken, after a little bit of reluctance and some prodding on your part, and it's very interesting to hear that Ken was daunted by the idea of search engine marketing because he certainly became avid for it later.
Well, Ken was a smart guy, so he was smart to be daunted. It's a daunting task. I mean, it really is, but especially in those days when, you know, guys had to optimize pages for 8 silly search engines or 7 or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And today, basically, you have Google. If you got Google knocked, okay, then you worry about Yahoo and MSN.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was tough. I mean, Ken was a hard worker, and if he said he was working hard on something, there was no bull about it. He was, and he was frustrated. 4 months later, he was ready to, you know, throw up his hands, quit the task, and you know, it's only because we had such a good relationship that I think that you know, he said, okay, I'll try it for another, you know, for another 2 months, and you know, of course, he was having success all the time. He just couldn't see it; it wasn't showing up, and you know. In the engines. I don't know how long Excite would go on those days before reindexing, but we went from, you know, being very mediocre on Excite to dominating Excite.
Mm.
Dominating in such a way, if you search for Tag Heuer watches, this, Ken, I tell you, this is no lie. World of Watches had 8